program, and H1N1 information there for you too. Well, we often hear about the perils of high blood pressure or hypertension, but many Canadians are unaware that high blood pressure in the lungs, which is known as pulmonary hypertension or PH, can have fatal consequences. This is Pulmonary Hypertension Awareness Month, and joining me on the line is Dr. Sanjay Mehta. He's a professor of medicine and director of the Southwest Ontario Pulmonary Hypertension Clinic in London, Ontario, and it's good to have you with us, Dr. Mehta. Thanks for being with us.
Well, Jamie, it's a pleasure to be here, and thanks very much for your interest in making people more aware of pulmonary hypertension.
You know, this is, I've got to tell you, hypertension, for a long time, people didn't quite know what that meant, and, you know, then you'd say high blood pressure, and they still didn't quite know what that means. Draw a distinction, if you will, between the definitions of hypertension or high blood pressure and pulmonary hypertension.
Well, I think that's very important. And so fairly simply, hypertension really just means high blood pressure. And that's very common in the population. People know they go to their doctors and he measures the blood pressure in the arm. And so the common kind of high blood pressure or hypertension is in the whole body except in the lungs. The lungs have very separate, very special blood vessels. And the blood pressure in your lungs is normally very low. And so, for example, if a normal blood pressure in somebody might be 120 on 80, the lungs work best at a pressure of about 25 on 10.
Oh, boy.
It's incredible how well the lungs work at low pressure, and that's what they need to work well. And so even a little bit of elevation of the blood pressure in the lungs, which is pulmonary hypertension, leads to tremendous problems.
How are you able to measure that? We know that with, you know, when you go to get your blood pressure checked, you know, they put a cuff on your arm and pump that up, and they listen with a stethoscope, or they have a digital machine to do it. But how do you measure pulmonary hypertension?
Well, it's a
Hello? It looks like we may have lost our connection to Dr. Sanjay Mehta, unfortunately. Pulmonary hypertension. Yeah, you know, and if you go into the Rexall stores, you go into pharmacies all over the province, you will see those blood pressure machines. I don't know whether you've ever sat down and checked one of those out, but some people say, oh, you know, maybe I'll just wait and go to my doctor and check that out, and maybe that would be better. Those machines, now this is according to Hilton Silberg, our resident pharmacist, and other people we've had on the program, say, you know what, those machines are very, very accurate, and in fact, a lot of people now will go to a pharmacy and buy their own blood pressure monitoring machine because they have come down in price as well, and they're also very, very accurate in terms of their reading. And you know, there's a lot of medications that people take where higher blood pressure or hypertension becomes a side effect or is a side effect of the medication they're taking. We've got Dr. Mehta back on the line. I was just saying, doctor, that you know, there's blood pressure is caused by a number of factors. Sometimes it's a side effect of medication that we're on. There's other factors as well, lifestyle factors. But let's save that for a minute and go back to this question that I asked you before we were cut off, which is how do you measure pulmonary hypertension, the hypertension or high blood pressure specifically in the lungs?
Yeah, sorry about that. I guess London and Hamilton aren't so close together.
Well, they just don't want us to get together, even though we love each other. You know, the two cities, anyway.
And so the measurement of pulmonary hypertension is very challenging, Jamie. There isn't a simple device that we have. We have measurements that we can make which require something that's fairly invasive. It's called catheterization. It takes a fine tube or wire that goes in through a vein in a groin or in the neck, and it threads through the heart into the lungs to actually measure the blood pressure right in those blood vessels. So obviously not something simple that we can do every day. There is another technique called echocardiogram, and this is essentially an ultrasound of the heart, very much like a woman would have if she's pregnant, and that can get a good look at the structure of the heart and also get an estimate of the pressures in the lungs.
Okay, there must
no simple way.
There must be symptoms, though, that lead doctors to want to perform that kind of invasive test.
That's exactly right. So we don't do this on everybody. We wait and see if people have symptoms. Now, the symptoms are difficult because they're quite subtle, and there's a lot of overlap between the symptoms of pulmonary hypertension and many other diseases. So, for example, the most common symptom is somebody feels a little short of breath or has difficulty breathing. And initially, just on exercise, for example, going up a flight of stairs or on a treadmill, but eventually that progresses and they're short of breath with everyday little activities, getting dressed, getting bathed, doing little housework around the home. home. And so those are an important sign that there might be something going on heart and lung-wise, such as pulmonary hypertension.
Does this typically kick in at any particular age, or does it hit men or women more often? What's sort of the demographic of the average patient when they come in and have to have that procedure done?
And this is changing a lot. Our ideas about 25 years ago was that this was typically a disease of young people, 20s and 30s, and about three times more common in women than in men. But over the last 25 years, we've focused on this a lot in the centers across the country, and this is a disease that affects kids and patients in their 70s. So we see all ages, we see all genders as well. It's still most common in people at their sort of prime of life, between sort of 20 and 50.
Does stress or anxiety play a big part in this at all?
We don't think it causes pulmonary hypertension, but if you have anxiety on top of the disease, then there's no question the pressures in the lungs can be higher, and people typically do feel worse.
Are the risk factors or causes that are so widely known about regular hypertension, do those apply in the case of pulmonary hypertension?
No, and this is where the disease is very different. So the biggest risk factors for systemic hypertension, the usual kind of high blood pressure, are family history, salt intake, and probably weight and lack of exercise. So really, almost none of those are relevant to pulmonary hypertension, except perhaps a family history. The much more important factors that might put you at risk for pulmonary hypertension include a history of blood clots in the lungs, a history of other heart or lung disease, where the blood vessels of the lungs might get damaged, and as well, we recognize now underlying medical disease. And one, for example, is scleroderma, which is a systemic disease of joints and skin, which patients, when they have that disease, get about pulmonary hypertension in 10 to 20% of cases.
Is that that's an autoimmune disease, is it not?
Exactly right. In the family of lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, all of those connective tissue or autoimmune diseases, exactly.
You know, this is kind of, pulmonary hypertension sounds kind of mysterious. Did we just lose him again? Are you still there, doctor?
No, I'm still here.
You're
sorry.
Still there? Okay, good. You must have just dropped the phone or something. I was worried there for a minute. It's kind of frightening in a sense because, you know, we think of regular hypertension as being silent. A lot of people have it and don't know that they have it.
Right.
I would say, you know, wouldn't that be doubly the case for pulmonary hypertension?
That's exactly the problem. And besides that, it's such an uncommon disease that unfortunately lots of physicians as well don't know a lot about pulmonary hypertension. We figure the average family physician in his career might see two or three people with this disease. And so it's very hard to get this diagnosed, one, because patients don't know about it, and also because healthcare workers themselves don't know a lot about it.
And I know that when you do and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, certainly, but when you do a catheterization type test that you mentioned earlier, there's always some risk involved in that. Obviously, there's more risk in having the disease or the problem of pulmonary hypertension, but there's always some risk associated with having the procedure done itself, right? There always seems to be some concern about maybe some plaque breaking off. And I know when they do cardiac catheterizations, there's a bit of a risk, not a huge one, but a bit of a risk that you could have a heart attack while you're on the table.
That's right. And so obviously all tests and procedures have risks. This kind of catheterization is a little different than the cardiac one. This is called a right heart catheterization. So we don't actually go in the arteries where the plaques are, and so there's no risk of a heart attack or stroke or breaking off plaque. The common small risks are bleeding at the site where you puncture somebody or infection, and those things are pretty well looked after. The risks overall are about 1 in 1,000 patients have a complication.
But when we talk about pulmonary hypertension being fatal, is stroke the end game when it comes to that idea?
No, it's a very interesting disease. So this starts clearly as a problem in the lungs, the blood vessels of the lungs, but it's the heart that has to pump blood throughout the body, including through the lungs. And so eventually the right side of the heart, which is responsible in you and I in pumping blood through our lungs, starts to get tired and weak. And so this disease leads to right-sided heart failure. Mm. And these people die being very tired, passing out, having chest pain. Eventually the heart gives out.
Wow, a fascinating discussion and a lot of insight into something that we've really never discussed at length on this program. Really appreciate it, Dr. Sanjay Mehta. We'll have you back again. Thank you.
That'd be great. Thanks so much, Jamie.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Dr. Sanjay Mehta is the Professor of Medicine and Director of the Southwest Ontario Pulmonary Hypertension Clinic in London. We'll come back with more Rexall Radio Health Matters with Jamie West on AM 900 CHML.
you wake up in the morning, you want to know